Okay, we are in the book of Exodus, chapter 5. If you remember, last week as the closing of the book of Exodus, chapter 4, we learned that Moses and Aaron came to the children of Israel and talked to them that God has sent Moses and Aaron, did some miracles in front of them, and Israeli people, all the elders, believed Moses and Aaron, and they were very happy, and they were praising God and worshiping the Lord. That was the joyous, happiest experience after a long time the children of Israel had. That means they were happy, joyful that God is here to deliver us. Moses is back. And Aaron also said God spoke to him also. So they had a very good meeting and they were rejoicing, praising and glorifying God. Now we start with the chapter 5, Exodus chapter 5, verse 1.
And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness."
Now here, Aaron and Moses goes to Pharaoh. And now they are telling Pharaoh what God told them. When I was reading this, I thought maybe Moses and Pharaoh made some mistake. They gave the same message, but some mistake I see here. Because when they went to the Pharaoh, they said, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." So now they are saying God is telling us to go to wilderness and have a feast. I think that was a little bit annoying to the Pharaoh. Pharaoh is saying these people are working, making the bricks, and now these people wants to have a feast. Having a feast is a very rejoicing time. And so God told Moses, "Tell the Pharaoh, we are going to go to 3 days' journey and we are going to have a sacrifice unto the Lord." That was the message. But here somehow, maybe in a fear of Pharaoh or maybe they used the psychology, I don't know what they did, but they say, "Let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And so Pharaoh didn't like that idea. So let's read the words too.
And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go."
Now Pharaoh thought these people are going. He said, "Let my people go and we are going to have a feast." So he said, "Who is that Lord? I don't understand your God and I don't know his voice. I'm not going to obey him and he's not my God. So I'm not going to let the children of Israel go and have a feast." And then he thought, you know, these people, they want to have a good time. They want to have a feast. They want to go and enjoy the meal or whatever. God already told Moses that I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. But right away, Pharaoh denies he doesn't want children of Israel to go. But top of that, he is a little bit angry. He thinks the children of Israel, there are so many. He would have said, "You know, you want to go and have a feast? Why don't you go group of people and have a feast, and then next time some other group of people will go, just like you're working in the company. Sometimes they give a vacation. And if they have 4 or 5 people, they will say, take a turn and you go on vacation." But here he's saying, "Let my people go," mean all the Israeli people, "we want to go and have a feast." And that didn't like Pharaoh, and so Pharaoh is a little bit angry. Exodus chapter 5, verse 3.
And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword."
Now here Moses came to the right message. he says the God of Hebrews or God of Israel, he visited us, he talked to us, he met us. Now we are requesting you, we have to have 3 days journey into the desert, and then we are going to sacrifice unto the Lord. And if you don't go, then God will be angry at us. He says, lest he fall upon us with a pestilence and with a sword. So he is saying, if we don't go, if we don't have feast, and we don't please God, God is going to be angry. He's going to send some kind of disease or some kind of sword. Now, God never said this. God did not say, go and tell the Pharaoh that if we don't go, he's going to kill us with a sword or with a disease. He didn't say it. But I think that Moses used his wisdom, whatever, to scare the Pharaoh. If we don't go, we are going to die. So we want to please God. In one way, it's right. If you don't worship the Lord, if you don't please God, God will be angry and you might die. But God never said to Moses, tell the Pharaoh that I'm going to send some kind of disease and I'm going to send some sword and you're going to be killed. So this is what their conversation going on. Let's see what the Pharaoh says. Verse 4.
And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens.
Now, he's saying, who gave you this idea that children of Israel should take a day off or take a time off, go to 3 day journey and have a feast and do the sacrifice, so there is no time limit? God never said to Moses or Aaron, we go to 3 day journey and we'll have the feast or we have the sacrifice and then you can tell I'm going to return to Pharaoh back. That was not the God's plan anyhow. God wanted them to go and tell the Pharaoh, we are going for 3 days journey. After that, they were not coming back. But Pharaoh is thinking, you people are lazy. You don't want to work. You are so many people. I cannot let everybody go. And so you came here to tell the children of Israel, don't work. We should have a vacation. We should have time off. And so that's why you coming and telling us. He's saying, you people are too many. That means he's saying, too many people are here and you're not listening. They try to kill them. They try to destroy them. Nothing was working. They put a taskmaster and give them hard time, told them to do the work in farm, do the work in houses, do the working in the field and do everything. And still they were progressing and they're growing and nobody was dying. So he said, you are too many people. And you people just thinking, take a rest and release their burden. So Pharaoh is giving the new command, verse 6.
And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof. For they be idle, therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God.
Now here are two kinds of taskmasters. One taskmasters are Egyptians. And they put other people, Israeli people also, like a managers or the officers. This taskmaster will talk to the Israeli officers and tell them to get the work done. And so they will have hard working. The taskmaster will be beating the children of Israel, harassing them and taking the work. And at the same time, Israeli officers also taking the work. But up to now, they never punish the Israeli officers. They only punish the workers. And the boss officers, they never hit them or do any harm to them. And so maybe highly educated Israeli people, they were chosen to be officers over the Israeli people. So now this taskmaster, they come and gather the officers of children of Israel and saying, this is what Pharaoh is saying. Pharaoh is saying, now you people want to go on a vacation, have a feast and have fun, and you people do not have too much work here. So now we are going to give you extra work. And now he's saying, what kind of work? We used to give you the straw. They used to get the straw, they cut into pieces, maybe very small pieces of straw, maybe wheat or the rice, straws, and then they cut in and put it in the clay, and then they make a bricks that may hold tighter when they make the brick. That straw will hold them. And so now they say, we are not going to give you a straw. You go and find your own straw and make a bricks. But the condition is this. The quota should be the same. Whatever the brick you made before, same brick you have to make, but you have to find the straw yourself. Now, this was not easy task. Pharaoh's people might be bringing the bundles of this straw, and they make a chop it into small pieces and give it to them. And so they have to just mix it and make the bricks. Now they are saying, you go and find wherever you can find. Now they cannot go to the Pharaoh's storehouse and get it from his storehouse. All this straw is stored. They have to go to all the wilderness, look wherever they scrap, they can find pieces of straw or leaves or whatever they can find, and they can bring it. And so this was a very hard burden on the children of Israel. Let's read the verse 9.
Let there more work be laid upon the men that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words.
Now they're saying, why are we doing this? Because these people have a lot of free time. And that's why they are making this kind of decision and discussion. And some places, you know, the workers are not allowed to talk to anybody. If you go to certain companies, even the Christian company, they give you 10 minutes break every 2 hours. That's the time you can go to bathroom, you can talk to somebody. But while you're working, you're not supposed to talk with people and spend your time. Because people say, we're giving you money for 8 hours, we want 8 hours job. But some people, you know, they go to smoke a cigarette or walking, and somebody meet them on the way and they start talking. And if they say some officer or some supervisor coming, and they say, okay, bye, I have to go. And so the people keep on watching those kind of people. What kind of job they're doing? Are they doing better job? Are they honest in their job and things like that? So these people are saying, you know, we gave you a job, you're making bricks, and we never told you how much you have to make, and you were doing easy time. But now, whatever the brick you made, you have to make the same amount of bricks, and you get your own straw, and your job should be not less equal like we used to give you straw, because you are just wasting your time talking about vacation, talking about going somewhere else. So when you're busy, every word you talk, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that's wasting. Shut your mouth, do the job, and you will have the enough time to do the work. And that's what they were saying. Verse 10.
And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw.
Pharaoh gave the command to taskmasters. They gave the command to Israeli people. And now they said, okay, go and find the straw. So these people scatter abroad, and everybody trying to get the straw. And they are after them. Hurry, hurry, you're getting late. Get it soon. You have to make the bricks, and they might be heating them, or they might be hurrying them and bringing them back and doing the work. And then say, listen, now you wasted too much time looking for the straw. You have to make the brick exactly the brick you made before. And that's what the command was given. And this taskmaster talked to the Israeli officer also, not only talking, maybe they didn't do their proper job. So now the taskmasters are coming to the children of Israel's officers, and they're trying to talk to them, and they might have said, you know, you are not giving chance to our people to work, and you are really not reasonable. And they might have disagreement with them. And so the taskmaster didn't like Israeli people or their officer arguing with them, and they might have beaten them up. And so they got angry, and they said, okay, in that case, we are going to go to Pharaoh and tell that your taskmaster is treating us bad. So let's read verse 14.
And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants?
Hear what happened when these taskmasters are coming and saying, see, yesterday, whatever the bricks you made, you should be making same today, and I don't see any count or any quota. You did it before. So they were angry, and they want the same kind of quota be done. And when the children of Israel's officers maybe talked to them, they didn't like it, and they start beating them up. And these people got angry, and they say, okay, we are going to go to Pharaoh, and we are going to tell the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh might be not too harsh like you people. Sometimes your immediate officers not treating you good in your job, and then you say, okay, I'm going to go to higher officers, and I'm going to talk to your boss. But what happens if your immediate officer is not good with you? Your higher officers will not listen to you. This always you have to keep in your mind. If your immediate boss angry with you and he's treating you bad, you calm down, you try to negotiate with him and try to make him happy. If not, he's going to go and tell all bad about you, and the other boss is not going to listen to you, but he's going to listen to the other boss. And so that's what happens. So here they're going to taskmaster, they are not listening to him. He said, okay, we're going to go to Pharaoh. See what happens, what the Pharaoh is doing. Pharaoh is not listening to them. Verse 16.
There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people.
He's saying the people are demanding, get the straw, make the brick. Brick should be equal into last time you made, and they are not giving straw. So the problem is not with the children of Israel. They are hardworking people. They are working properly. But the problem with your own people. That means he's saying your taskmasters are wrong, and they are doing this, and they are treating us bad. So when you say your people are wrong, you are wrong, people don't like it. Even that they are wrong, and they are your boss, and you try to find their fault, they may not like it. And that's why some people are having problems, because they say the bosses are not good and the bosses are not treating us good. So Pharaoh is saying, we are not going to listen to you, and we are not going to make it so easy for you. Verse 17.
But he said, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord.
Now what he's saying, you are idle, means you are not doing anything. But he didn't say one time, he repeated, you are idle, you are idle. That means you are lazy, you don't want to work. You have no desire to work, but your mind is going on a vacation. The Pharaoh is saying, you people are idle people, and you are idle, you're not doing anything, and that's why you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord, and you just making excuses not to work. And that's why they were giving them more work. Verse 18.
Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks.
Taskmaster said it, officer said it, but now the Pharaoh is saying, you go and work and bring your own straw, and we are not giving any straw, and then deliver the same kind of bricks you did it before. I do not want less work, exactly the work you did, and exact the quality work I want. And you go and do it. Now, this, he's talking to the children of Israel's officers. Now, they got mad. The taskmasters are after them. The Pharaoh is after them. And now, they're angry at Moses and Aaron. Now, they want to go to the other party. They figured it out. We had a taskmasters, but this never happened, that we have to go and get our own straw, and we have to make the brick, and we have to make the equal amount of brick. This never happened. And this is impossible. You can just think. If you're working 8 hours and making maybe 800 bricks, whatever the measure of bricks you are making, and now you're getting 2 or 3 hours going and just looking for straw, and you are tired and weary, hungry and thirsty, and you come back and make the bricks a shortage. Maybe 100, 200 bricks are not done properly. And so they got very frustrated. This is impossible. Sometimes in your job, they give you 8 hours and then say, oh, could you come 1 more hour? We have a little bit more work. And then you go. And they let you work for a couple of months or 6 months, 7 months, and then say, oh, today we have a little bit more job. Could you come a little bit, a couple of hours more? And people say, yes, and yes, and yes, and you keep on going, and then you become 2 hours more, 3 hours more, 15 hours, 16 hours. And if you are in a salary, you got stuck. Now, these people already went to Pharaoh, went to taskmaster Pharaoh, and now they are coming to Moses. They figured out why this happened, where this is started, who is the cause of these things. So they figured it out, Moses is the problem. If Moses was not here, we were happy, even though they were taking job from us, but they never told us to do this kind of job. And so they were angry, and now they're going to Moses. Let's read the verse 19.
And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh.
Now, I don't know why the Moses was standing on the way. I think Moses came to know, these people are giving hard time. Now they are going to Pharaoh. And when they're coming from the Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron knows Pharaoh is not going to listen. So they were waiting for these people to come, what the Pharaoh said. And so these people tried to complain to Moses. Let's read verse 20.
And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us.
Now they're saying, you know what you have done? You came to give us more hard time. So let God judge you, let God punish you, because you are the one cause of our problem. Up to now, we were doing okay. Now, you came and talked to Pharaoh, told the Pharaoh that we are going to go on a 3-day journey. We are going to have a feast or sacrifice. And so, Pharaoh didn't like it. What you're actually doing, you're giving the sword in the Pharaoh's hand, so kill us. Up to now, they were using the stick and whatever the beading. But now, actually, you are giving the sword in their hands. That means we are going to die. They are going to kill us. They are going to destroy us. And indirectly, they are saying, you made our life miserable. this kind of situation, actually what they're supposed to do, do you know? They're supposed to go to God. They're supposed to pray. We heard Moses talking. God met him. We saw three miracles. We know 100% that Moses is going to deliver us. Now, we have to go to Moses and say, Moses, this is a difficult time. Did God told you something that this kind of thing will happen and we will be more suffering instead of getting deliverance? When you are angry, the good things doesn't come to your mind. You just get angry. And that time you said, whatever happens, I don't care. And you just say whatever you want to say. And that's what they are saying. You causing all this problem. And you are the worst, our enemy now. God is going to judge you. God is going to punish you. They're cursing Aaron and they're cursing Moses. And so Moses has no words to comfort these people. Moses didn't say, you know what? Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's go to God. I don't think this was going to happen. But if the enemy is trying to do something like that, we can pray. And God can change it. But very hardly people go to God when they are frustrated. These people are angry. They have no respect for higher authority. Moses is supposed to be their leader. Aaron is supposed to be their leader. And they talk to God and God listened to them. They said, who cares about you people? We are going to curse you. Let God punish you. And they were so angry. And Moses has no words to talk to these people. Didn't say anything, let's pray or anything. And he also got mad. Let's read verse 22.
And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?
Now he is blaming God. Now that's what happened. When we have problem, instead of finding solution, instead of saying, Lord, where did I go wrong? What did I do? I told you Moses did wrong thing. He went right away to Pharaoh and he starts saying, you know what? Let my people go. We are going to have a feast. The Pharaoh didn't like that idea. Then he changed it to say, God of Hebrews, he met us and he talked to us. And then he said, take a 3-day journey and then sacrifice to me. And if you don't go, I'm going to send some kind of plague and you're going to die. Otherwise, I'm going to bring the sword against you and you're going to be killed. All of these things God did not tell him. And so now he's blaming God. If God would have said, hey, did I tell you this? Did I tell you that I'm going to kill you with a pestilence or with some kind of plague or some kind of sword? Did I say this? No. Why did you then go and lie to Pharaoh or say something wrong and now you have a problem and you're coming to me? God didn't say. God is much wiser. God comes to rescue you in your time of need. Instead of blaming God or blaming others or doing something drastically, you go to God and you pray. Our God is a prayer answering God. Once you go to God and say, why this happening to me? He can give you vision. He can give you dream. He can talk to you. He can change the situation. We have to learn to turn to God and not to be angry at God. And now he is very angry at God. He said, you did wrong thing and you did bad things to my people or children of Israel. God never does any evil thing. God doesn't do any wrong thing. God doesn't do anything wrong. But when people are angry, they accuse God. The man said, show me your God and I'll kill him. I said, sir, you're asking too much. The time will come. Then I will show you Lord Jesus Christ. He was dying in his hospital. And he told somebody to call Pastor Peter. So I went there. I said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, oh, I am like a fish out of water. I have no rest. I'm having so much pain. I'm dying. I said, do you remember You said, show me your Jesus and I will tie him to my bed and I will shoot him. You remember that? Would you like to do that? You want me to show Jesus so you can tie and kill him? Or you want me to pray for you? This man was in very pain. So he said, I'm sorry, whatever I said, I'm sorry. I know you could pray for me and God will heal me. I prayed for him, God healed him. He was Hindu, came to church, got baptized and became a good church member. The point I'm making, sometimes people think they can fight with God, they can tie God, they can kill God, but they don't know our God is Almighty God. You cannot play game with God. I can give so many examples that people who told me they are going to do something wrong to my God, I told them, you can say anything bad about me or you can beat me. Don't say anything bad against God, because God's wrath will come. You would not know how to handle it. And so what I'm trying to say here, Moses is angry and he is accusing God. First of all, he said, you did this evil to these people, and why is that thou hast sent me? Why did you send me? I did so many excuses. I said, I'm not able to talk. I cannot speak properly, and send somebody else. But you convinced me and you sent me. What Moses was thinking, I'll go to Pharaoh and Pharaoh will not listen to me. But finally, he will let them go. God did not tell Moses the timing. He did not say how many miracles you'll be doing. He just simply said, you go and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go, and we go into 3-day journey. That's all he said, and we'll do sacrifice. But he did not give him order. Do this first miracle, then second and third and fourth and tenth. And when the tenth miracle you do, let him go. He would have done all these 10 miracles in one day. But God did not tell him that. As soon as he goes to Pharaoh and tells him, let my people go, we are going to go for a 3-day journey, Pharaoh might have sent the chariots. And before he could come and talk to his people, this is what I talked to Pharaoh, they are already beating them up and already they are having problem and they are already coming to Moses. What did you do? You went to Pharaoh and you made our day worse than before. And so he goes to God and tried to complain. Let's read the verse 23.
For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.
Now he says, when I came to Pharaoh, I told you exactly what you said, and Pharaoh did more evil to these people, and you did not deliver the children of Israel at all. He thought he will go and Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh will say, go, and we will be delivered right away. But he forgot. God told him, I will make the Pharaoh's heart harden, and he will not let you go. And then you will be doing many miracles. And then you take silver, gold, and clothes, and precious things, and everything, and put it on your children, all this jewelry, and then you go. And they will let you go. But everything what God told him, he forgot. When you're angry, your brain doesn't work. So that's why I tell people, when you're angry, sometimes you go to another room, get a glass of water, pray, walk away from the people who are fighting with you. But sometimes when you're walking away, people keep on coming after you and say, talk to me, talk to me. And that's where people get into trouble. Did you see the two people are fighting on the road and they might be 10 feet away and talking to each other? But third person comes and say, hey, don't do that. As soon as the third person pulling that person, then they got more closer to fight. Other day I heard, husband and wife, they were fighting. And here is a Christian man going and telling the husband, why are you treating your wife like this? And they got into fight. And he started beating him, and he started beating that Christian man. I was thinking, that Christian man has to be fool. Never go to husband-wife's fight in between. Never talk to them. It's not a good idea when they're fighting, you're giving them advice. Always they will think, if the husband and wife fighting and the other man comes in between, the man is going to say, maybe this man is a friend to this wife, my wife. Or the another lady comes and says to another lady, hey, don't fight with him. Then the lady knew that this man maybe have relationship with this lady. Otherwise, why she's coming and talking? Sometimes your daughter fighting with her husband, the father goes and tells, don't fight. What happens? The daughter goes and befriend with the husband, and they together fight with the father. That's what happens. This happened in our church. The lady told the daddy, this man is giving me a hard time. So he said, okay, I'm coming. And he goes and says, hey, why are you doing this? And he said, I'm going to do this and that. And that girl comes and start beating father. He said, I came to rescue you. You're going to hit my husband. And so never go and when they're fighting, talk to them. Call the police or do something. But you yourself don't go in the middle, because they will be doing more harm. Moses didn't remember what God said to him. Moses would have said, you had a hard day. But you know, God promised, and God keeps his promises. I know real that I am chosen. You know why the people nowadays, ministers, get backslidden? They start a ministry and few days or few years and hard time comes and they walk away, or some kind of scandal comes and they give up. Why? Because when God called them, they have to hold on to the calling. If they are not called, and then they go halfway and they run away. What Jesus said, when you and holding the plow and plowing, what did he say? Don't look back. Now, here plowing, you doing with a tractor. You don't know hardly why Jesus Christ said that. In India, plowing is the hardest thing in the world. They have to have they have sharp object going in the mud and breaking that thing. And you have not one bull, you have 4, 6, or 8 bulls, and you are holding that metal thing and pushing it down and going in the straight line, because you're going line by line. And so you're going by line. If you don't go, then the animals are going to go around. You're going to get hurt. When you look back, you are not going to do the task properly. So you can get hurt, your animal will get hurt, or you will not do the proper job. That's why Jesus Christ is saying, when you're plowing, don't look back. When you start the work, you finish the job. And many people start excuses and they go, I have met so many pastors. When they have problem, they give up and they start doing something else. I tell people, I started the ministry in 1956. Do you know, from 1956 until today, no obstacle came? So many obstacles came. People came to kill me. People came to destroy me many times. But I did not sit and start blaming God. Oh God, why did you call me? Or I don't think you called me, and why these things are happening. I never said that in my life. Never in my life I said, why did I give up my job? I had the air conditioned office. I had a treasury box in my hand, key in my hand. I take my own salary. If I need $100 extra, I just take the $100 and put a note in there, and the boss doesn't say anything. And I had a good time. Go 10 o'clock, 5 o'clock, I'm off. And so I had telephone. In those days, I'm talking about the 1950s. You have telephone, air conditions, and everything. But when God called me, I gave up everything. And when I follow the Lord, I know the obstacle will come. The trouble, trials will come, but if you keep on looking unto Jesus, it says, book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Once you have trial and tribulation, you start looking back, you're going to destroy your life. You're going to get hurt. You're going to hurt other people. And that's what happened. The people are hurting other people. They know they're doing wrong, and sometimes they say, oh, nobody will see it. Other day, I heard one pastor and his secretary came for a pastor's convention or some kind of gathering. And everybody's staying in the hotel, and they said, oh, we're going to stay in a small. And so they said, we are not going to live in a hotel because everybody is there. So we are going to go in our own motel, what they call the mobile, and we will stay there. And when they were there, and they were actually committing sin, sleeping in one bed and acting, and that time somehow the fuse of the gas got loose and they were dead. And the next day they say, oh, where is such and such a pastor, who is there? And they're looking, here they're naked, sleeping in one bed, and they're dead. What happened? The people were not watching, but God was watching. You coming and telling your church member, I'm going to go for the convention, and here you having fun, and nobody knows. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, it says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and naked to his eyes. And Jesus Christ says, there is nothing secret that you tell somebody in secretly. They will come and they will talk atop of the mountain or housetop. There is nothing hidden. There is nothing secret. People say, you know what? This is so secret. You are my best friend. I'm telling you, don't tell anybody. Oh, I will not tell anybody. But that person has best friend. He said, okay, I'm telling you, you're my best friend. Don't tell anybody. That thing go around, and come back to you. And so he said, what happened? There is no secret. Everybody has their own best friend, and your things will go around. And so I learned one thing. When you say to somebody, don't tell anybody, that's the time people go and tell. Moses is angry. These people are angry. And everybody's frustrated. They don't know why this happened to us. And so, this is just the first day. Moses didn't do any miracle yet. He just went and talked to Pharaoh. And he says, let's let our people go. But he hastily went and said some of the things which he should not be saying. God is much wiser. When God said exactly, tell the Pharaoh, we are going to go for 3-day journey to do the sacrifice unto our Lord. Not feast, not a good time. You don't need a vacation. You're not coming back. You're going forward. But that's what I said last time. Don't tell your secret to your enemies. If they would have said, you know, God told us, go for 3-day journey, but we are not coming back. We are going to go from there, and God already told us, we are going to ask you silver and gold and everything, and we are going to rip you off, and we are going to spoil everything, and we are going to go. If you tell everything in advance, do you think the Pharaoh and his people will like it? No. So you don't tell your plan to enemy. And then somebody will say, why this thing happened? God never said to Moses or Pharaoh, as the Pharaoh's heart will be hardened, and Pharaoh will give hard time to your people. He never said that. This is so happened. But I'm just thinking, this is the first time happened, and it's not going to happen again. Why? Because they will not have time to make a bricks or make anything. Later on, you will see problem after problem comes to Pharaoh. He has no time to send a taskmaster, he has no time to make a brick, and it takes not too much time. It might be, now this is the first day. And first day these people got so much problem, and they start thinking, now You give the sword to Pharaoh's hand, we are going to die, we cannot survive. But you will see later on, when all these 10 plagues comes, or 10 miracles God is doing, Israeli people are safe. They have no problem. And that's the time Israeli people are going to learn. Not this time Moses goes and trouble comes, and Moses goes second time and more trouble comes. We don't hear that. This is the first time. Their trouble is going to be almost over. Because each time they have problem, they are having more problem to them, no problem to Israel. Now, this Israeli people start blaming God. Moses start blaming God. But they didn't know the plan of God. If Egyptians allow these children of Israel go for 3-day journey without any problem, do you know what would happen? They will go for 3-day journey and they will tell Moses, hey, 3-day journey, we are tired, we did the sacrifice, let's go back to our work. Because we have a good pay there, we are having good time there. Why are we going into this jungle? Even though this 10 plague came, still the children of Israel start saying, we miss the garlic, we miss the onion, we want to go back. And they were going back with all kinds of trouble. Do you think if the Pharaoh would have treated them well, and as soon as they say go on first day they would have gone, they would have come back right away? So this was when they got this so much pain and suffering, they thought it's better to get out of here. And that's what happens. Let's pray. Let's ask God, when we're going through trials and tribulation, what Jesus Christ said, you will have tribulations. You will have trials. He says in John chapter 16. But he said, I have overcome the world. So Bible says, we are more than a conqueror. We have to trust in God. God has called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Give us grace to trust in you. Give us grace to follow you. Give us grace to just keep our eyes on you. Not looking at left or right, looking unto Jesus. But your word says, magnify the Lord. So we are going to magnify your name, so our problems will be smaller. And you have given us power. You say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Lord Jesus, give us grace over the enemy. Enemy cannot walk over us. The enemy will be under our feet. And you have given us so much power. We are not going to be afraid of anyone or anything. We are going to do your will. You are coming very soon. Prepare us, O Lord, for thy soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.